Once again, Christmas has come. Tonight we gather in the cold and the dark of winter, rejoicing that the light shines in the darkness. The baby of Bethlehem is born this night. We rejoice that God's promise has been realized. Our Savior has come to us. This is a festival that is both a holy day and a holiday. It is richly laden with sentiment and emotion. I think for many of us, this night stirs memories from childhood, either how we remember Christmas pasts were, or maybe how we wish they had been. This is a time of year when sights and sounds and smells, such as the sight of a Christmas tree, the sound of a familiar and beloved carol, or the scent of baking cookies, can trigger a rush of emotions and memories. And we who come to this church tonight are not immune from that rush of emotions and memories. If, like me, you have heard this familiar Christmas story from the Gospel according to Luke since you were a child, there are likely memories, emotions that are brought forth by this familiar and beloved text. We have those shepherds keeping watch on a cold, starlit night. This alone brings to my mind a vivid image, a memory from my childhood of those shepherds depicted with their cute, fluffy sheep on a barren hilltop, of that dark, deep blue sky pierced by the shining stars, of that manger scene with those surprisingly docile animals gathered round, of that bed and straw and the way that that holy child glowed with God's radiance, watched over by two adoring parents, and Mary, of course, with her hands folded in prayer. Our responses, our memories to Luke's story are, of course, to be expected. The story is so central to this feast. It's a scriptural text with a long-standing relationship for all of us. And yet, I believe it's important that we not rest in these cherished memories or feelings alone, but rather that we try to see this story with fresh eyes, to see the deep promise of God revealed on this holy night. Yesterday, as I do every year, I read the book The Best Christmas Pageant Ever by the author Barbara Robinson. I think some of you have read this. It tells the story of an annual Christmas pageant that has always been very predictable. The same carols are sung, the same staging is used, the same children, in fact, play the roles. At this pageant, everything happens in the same way. It is absolutely predictable. And if folks taking part in that pageant are fully honest, the truth is they might admit that the pageant even has become somewhat boring. Boring, that is, until the Herdman's children come to church. The Herdmans are a family of six children. Children who are known to be ill-behaved and unruly, who swear and smoke cigars. They've never been to church, they've never read the Bible, but when they hear from a friend who goes to church that there are snacks at Sunday school, they decide they're going to give church a try. They happen to come on that Sunday when they're lining up people to take part in the annual Christmas pageant. Now, those Herdmans don't know what a pageant is. They don't even know what the Christmas story is. But they are intrigued, and they all take part. They all are cast in roles in the pageant. And that comes against the wishes of those who have always had those roles, and against the wishes of longtime churchgoers who worry what these children will do to their beloved pageant. At rehearsal, the director of the pageant begins by telling the story of Christmas. The children who have taken part in the pageant all the years before are frankly bored by this. They listen, but they're bored by it. But never having heard the story before, the Herdmans are eager for every word. And they ask questions, questions about those words they don't understand. Things like, what are those swaddling clothes? The other children, through their questions, learn things that they did not know, though they've taken part in this pageant every year. And most strikingly, and I think most touchingly, the Herdmans are appalled that Mary can't find a room at the inn, that she must give birth in a stable with a feeding trough for a cradle. After that rehearsal, the director of the pageant reflects on the herdman's outrage at Mary's predicament, and she says, "It was perfectly disgraceful, and I never thought about it much. You hear all about the nice warm stable with all the animals breathing and the sweet-smelling hay, but that doesn't change the fact that they put Mary in a barn." Through these six herdmen's children, those taking part in the pageant have the Christmas story open to them in a new way. They come to see it with fresh eyes. Sentiment and memory and even boredom are stripped away. And the night the pageant is performed, something frankly miraculous happens. Imogen Herdman's playing the part of Mary doesn't ruin the pageant as everyone feared. Instead, she takes the pageant to a more profound level. She is so moved by the experience of playing Mary that tears fill her eyes in the final scene. And her depth of emotion touches others. And everyone agrees this has been the best Christmas pageant ever. Through its familiarity with the layers of memory and emotion, Christmas can become familiar and comfortable. We can lose sight of the profound and life-changing importance of this most holy night. And it's not surprising. It's difficult, if not impossible, to imagine the Almighty, eternal God putting on human flesh, of God entering into the world in such a humble way, a way that's far more humble than we might expect, or maybe more than we are comfortable with. It's difficult to comprehend God coming among us in such humility and vulnerability. It's not really how we expect God to act to overturn injustice, to establish God's reign of love. How can a helpless baby accomplish this? Luke's account carefully reminds us of who the important and the powerful were when Jesus was born. He has recorded their names for the ages. There's the Emperor Augustus, who wants a census for taxation. There's Quirinius, governor of Syria. Luke places the story in a particular time and place. God comes among humanity in the time appointed, in the place that God selects. But these men, these important leaders in their time, are not the primary actors in this story. Rather, it's Mary, an unmarried pregnant woman who says yes to her life being turned upside down to bring about God's plan. There's Joseph, to whom Mary is engaged and who accepts Mary's pregnancy. This poor couple, living far outside the power centers of the world, far from the emperor in Rome, are chosen by God to bring the hope of God's promise to the world. And then there are those shepherds living literally at the margins of society, men who in their day were considered of questionable morals and behavior. They are the ones first entrusted with the momentous news of the angel, with the angel saying to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord." The shepherds are the first to travel to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place. And they return from that sight, glorifying and praising God. The Almighty and powerful God comes to humanity as a baby, as one who accepts the limitations of human existence. God humbles God's self in being born of Mary. And in the birth of the baby of Bethlehem, human existence is set on its head, or maybe set right side up. The lowly are exalted, the poor are satisfied, the rich are released from the power of their wealth that holds them. The child born of Mary this night comes to set us free, to free us from everything that alienates us from God and our neighbor and ourselves. Jesus is born into the fullness of human life. Jesus comes to know the joys and the sorrows it is to be human. And Jesus shows us how we are to live the abundant life of God. And Jesus shows us how to love. Jesus shows us to do so by seeking the forgotten and the invisible, those at the margins, by choosing the path of humble service, washing our neighbor's feet, by forgiving our enemies and living by peace. And Jesus is the one who takes up his cross, shouldering the evil and hatred of humanity, putting it to death on the tree, setting us free to live the promise of resurrection life. To lose this deep promise of Christmas is to cut ourselves off from the divine life. That God acts this night to lift humanity to the dizzying heights of eternity. God becomes incarnate in the helpless baby of Bethlehem, that humanity will be lifted to the very throne of God, to the divine life of love of the Trinity. The implications of this reality for us are unimaginably profound and certainly life-changing. When we know sorrow and suffering, Jesus is right there with us, knowing what we experience, giving meaning to our experience through the power of the cross. When the powerless and disenfranchised cry out in pain, Jesus hears them, for he is the one born this night in a stable, far from the privilege of wealth and power. He is the one who knows firsthand the cruelty and injustice of this world. When people are forced from their homes by violence and oppression and poverty, Jesus travels with them. Just as Mary and Joseph took the Holy Child into Egypt, becoming refugees from Herod, who sought to kill the newborn king. And when those who have privilege hear the cries of the poor and the suffering, Jesus reminds us to listen to their stories, to use our power and our influence to right the wrongs of this world, believing this world can be transformed, that God does indeed act in and through us. This night is born in the city of David the Messiah, the Christ, the one whose birth changes everything. Not simply because a baby is born, certainly this is always a miraculous event, but this birth is something more profound even than that. In Jesus, God comes among us, showing us the depths of God's love for us. God desires so profoundly to be in relationship with us, that God comes right into the midst of human existence, dwelling among us as a helpless baby. And so this night, may we open our hearts, that God might enter in and be born in us, and lift us to the divine life. This child of Mary comes with the promise and the fulfillment of the ages, and in him, life is changed forever. We are forever changed. The face of the earth is forever changed. The hopes and the fears of all the world are met this night in the child of Bethlehem. As the prophet Isaiah says in our first lesson tonight, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen.